Time for another DoNotGod.com video presentation. Unfortunately, technology's a little broken. Yeah, the other camera, yes, it's broken. Its frame rate's all fucked up. Anyway, it doesn't seem fixable, so I don't have time to fix it anyway. At the moment, just irritating. So it's just not the way you want to start your video. Is with things not working, but anyway, that's the way it's going to have to be. In other news, I have a set up new server space, let's just say, and so I put the old inmendum.com now directs to this page that will be a summary of the different things I've done on the internet projects, one of them was the town website, blah blah blah. And so people can still find that, if they want some 20-year-old history, local-wise, then they can find it. And then it'll also have the FOSM stuff and the physics stuff and whatever other stuff. And in that vein, I've been also looking for the websites for and against, so just anybody who makes videos. And so if somebody wants to post a link to their channel in the comments, I wouldn't be offended, if they make videos related to the subject. Again, it doesn't really, even people who are interested in making the counter arguments. Now, people who can't make counter-arguments to the actual arguments and just make lies up about what I've said or done in my evil life, fuck that. Right? Yeah, so I'm not going to bother with people who are doxers and who just make false accusations for which somebody has to waste time explaining, no, that's not really what I said, it's not what I advocated. I've never defended anyone ever, molesting a child. I've done exactly the opposite and argued for an even higher age of consent. So it's clearly just a slander to imply I have any sympathy for those who would trespass on a minor. And all I have explained is that the fact is there are people who have these desires. And you have to acknowledge their existence and the fact that their desires are real. And the idea is to mitigate or find ways to satisfy them without them having to resort to molesting anyone real. So if you can give them something fake to molest, I would argue it's probably the right thing to do. if you can make them happy by having, pantomime molestation with puppets. Yes, let's be real and just recognize that the puppets aren't going to be offended or harmed. Just making sensible arguments like that, just about how, it's a real thing, you have to deal with it in some sort of real way, somehow gives them license to slander. And it's just a waste of time. But anyway, the fucking subject, frankly, isn't about me or my character. So again, people who have to resort to those kind of arguments that the person who's advocating for it is corrupt, therefore the idea is corrupt. So anybody who committed murder and eats potatoes, nobody can eat potatoes anymore because murderers eat potatoes. I mean, it's so fucking stupid. All right, and so obviously people making those kinds of arguments, should not be part of any conversation, frankly. Just too silly. But otherwise, so there are so many channels now. I went looking for channels related to antinatalism, and I found a lot of them. That's my subscription page. Does it work? Just all these little irritants. Anyway, so maybe we'll get rid of this. And sorry, this video's a little... I'm just... these little things, like the camera not working, it just pisses you off and you're just like, come on, what's the... camera can't be broken, can it? But, you know, try just about everything, so it must be the camera's broken, but we'll see. I'll plug it into something else and see if it works. I don't think it's Linux's fault this time. But anyway, who knows? Yeah, you just hate having to fix all that crap. So there's just a ton of these channels of different people making videos. And, I want to be fair to them and, kind of go, I don't want to sit there and do a hatchet job and all that kind of crap. So, maybe I'll have to go through them kind of carefully and see that people are making sound arguments and all of that kind of crap. But, yes, just an awful lot of them. So that's encouraging. Again, what is sort of discouraging is I don't think most of the arguments are well-grounded. And a lot of them are just the argument from... which is an argument I'll make, that I make. My life has been shit. There's been nothing about it that just screams, do it again. Okay, there's all kinds of reasons to say, fuck it. Yeah, there's little tiny, fun bits, but they're just, 45 seconds. They're just not long enough. Not enough of that. And the dark bits are just way too dark, the hard psychological shit, just way too, there's just no price worth paying for it. There's no, it's too high a price to make anything worth. Nothing's valuable enough to be worth redoing that shit over and over. Frankly, the argument should be grounded in the whole scheme of existence itself and the fact that it is just a biological experiment being conducted by a cold and kind of, just profoundly ignorant universe. The universe has a few little reflexes, what you would call basic laws of its mechanical function. I'd argue that science has gotten some of that stuff way wrong. It's got a bunch of wooey singularities, and they talk about holograms and all kinds of complex things. And the universe is really simple and stupid. It really is just bumping particles. It is just transfers of motion between little things and big things. And, out of that arises this complexity, and the complexity, the chemistry, fell upon the replicating thing. And for, a billion years, it just made little benign robots, in the sense that the robots didn't have a consciousness. They weren't feeling and thinking, and, they weren't synthesizing value. And so you couldn't really hurt them, all right? You could only hurt them in a fake, phony, they're broken. Oh, its arm fell off. Oh, something could happen to it. It could incur damage, but it's like your car incurring damage. You can feel, you can feel bad because it's your car, but you're just saying, come on, it's a car, And junkyards can be sad, you can walk through and, oh, poor car, oh, that poor car, oh, he was mistreated. That one was molested. you can allow yourself to anthropomorphize, humanize, give soul to, a smiley face. And I could draw a smiley face, and it could be kind of sad to erase it because it, it sort of has a personality, and it was somebody for a moment. So you can feel uncomfortable because of how your psychology works and how it tends to seek friends and things to be empathetic with. But yes, they're, Paramecium's are not involved in the struggle of life. Okay, they're just doing a chemistry experiment. They're just a mechanical, they're like a cardboard box, okay, with pictures drawn on it. It's just not a real thing. It's not a living thing in the sense of how we're experiencing existence. It's not the same thing. And the very fact that you sort of have to have this conversation is so discouraging that, you know, there's so many people seem confused in making these distinctions between, you know, bullshit, nonsense, silly thoughts and reality, which is, again, just that, yeah, this is what chemistry can do. So chemistry can make a replicating piece of, piece of chemistry, I don't know, whatever else you call it, compound. It can make something that's a little machine that does this Xerox thing, okay? So, and that's the DNA molecule. And it can have the instructions on how to build another little cardboard box, you know, with a tail and a smiley face written on it. And you can pretend it's alive, but it's really not. It's just a little machine. And frankly, we're just machines, but again, the complexity of the machine has gotten, the reflexes have gotten piled on top of the reflexes on top of the reflexes. And it has, in actual effect, created syndromes that we go through where when something's triggered, neurology takes place that synthesizes a sensation. It creates it out of the patterns of electricity in our brain. And, you know, it's very real to us, but if you dissect it, it's just like a computer program. It's just electricity moving through wires, the circuits of our brain. And it's an incredible feat that nature accomplished this thing called a sensation and consciousness. But it's not, it shouldn't be made into magic. So because it's really interesting and incredibly nuanced and complex over millions, hundreds of millions of years of it evolving, this machine, it's not, it shouldn't be seen for anything more than it is, which is just more robotic functions. It's not much different than the old, you know, vending machines where you had to put quarters in, and now the vending machines, you can swipe your credit card, you know, that kind of thing. It's a change, but it's not a change that should be thought of as being miraculous. It's just higher technology. So having hundreds of billions of neurons means we have higher technology in the structure. But the basic structure is still a, you know, flatworm. Still, you know, stuff goes in this end, it comes out the other end, and the machine does some, I'm here. that's all that really, you know, it isn't much to it. And the rest of it's all a conversation about psychology, you know, and just how controlled people are by their routines and their habits and their traditions. And that's all they have is they're like water people, you know, like the little baby water skiing. They're, you know, some people are beach people and some people are go out dancing people and some people are this or some people are that. So people have different, you know, games they're playing. And they're all trying to be winners in their game. So as you can almost... You could almost analogize it to sports, okay? You know, that there's fans, okay, for each one. And, you know, people are caught up all in it. And somebody who's a, you know, golfer versus a football player, you know, the golfers can look at the football players and go, what the fuck is that all about? You know, what a silly game they're playing. Why the fuck would you want to do that? Yeah, it doesn't make much sense to them because their psychology is programmed to play a certain game that has certain rules and has certain aesthetics and has, you know, that fits them because they've grown into it. It's like eating your mother's cooking or something. You know, you grow into it, and everything else seems a little foreign and weird. But it's all psychology. You know, it's all, you know, mushy patterns of the brain that have narrowed your capacity to be fully actualized in a way. It's put the blinders on and forced you to, you know, narrowed your view, because a bunch of stuff that is perfectly legitimate has been defined as you as foreign and alien and weird and fucked up and stupid. Now, the fact is if you could, you know, honestly view your own passions and your own devotions, they would be likewise viewed by you by the same standards as being pointless and wasteful and silly and unnecessary, and what a waste of TV, right? You could say that you could, you know, it's hard. You can't make too many analogies anymore from, you know, just because the world has changed. But I guess you could still say there's some sense of TV out there. And there's lots of shows and lots of programs made, and, you know, a whole big pile of them. You never watch one episode because it's just so, oh, fuck that. It's too silly a premise, too dumb. I ain't wasting my time with this mush. It's just a soap opera, and you could just say, well, you could just throw out all that stuff. Why are you wasting the film? Why are you wasting the camera on crap that's just not worth recording? But in fair analysis, the shows you like are just as easily picked apart and shown to and dissected into just psychological shit. You know, just what kind of wheels are turning in your brain, telling you it's important, it's interesting, it's fascinating. You know, the soap opera. Versus the home run hitter. You know, I've argued that, you know, sports is just the male version of stories. You know, and they're just looking for the little heroic moments, you know, for their little hero to do their little great thing, and you know, they can feel all good for their little hero. You know, you know, whoever they've decided, and for whatever reasons they've decided, to pick a horse that they like, you know. And people do this based on its name. You know, the horse could be called Mr. Friendly, and it just happens to have a smiley face built into its pattern on its butt. And you just say, oh, God, that horse has to win. I mean, come on. Yeah, and that's all you're doing. You're just betting on crap, and you think the crap you're betting on is fascinating and interesting, and it's only because you're addicted to it, so to speak. It's your mother's cooking. It's the crap that you have gravitated towards through all of the little maturating things that you went through. That decided who and, you know, what your personality was going to be. You know, whether you would, see, I'd say I can, you know, again, you know, you can, through introspection, you can, you know, point, see a lot of the way things go wrong for people or whatever. And I became an anti, you know, pretty early in my life. That's why I ended up smoking cigarettes or doing all the other stupid things I might have done. Now, what I didn't do was, the reckless sex thing or the, you know, other stuff that might, alcoholism or, you know, real hard drug addictions, none of that stuff. And it's because there the limits on how far or deep I would go into creating anything that you could depend on or you could trust. So I was like anti, because so many of the antis were just rejections of one thing, but not really an endorsement of something else. And I guess part of that you learn from the mistakes you make, like smoking or whatever. You find out that was as high risk and as dumb as becoming a heroin addict. So it's like I didn't need to see too many heroin addicts, which I did see a few, to know why the fuck would I even go anywhere near that shit, you know? So there's signs, you know, along the way. But again, it's your psychology that's driving you to seek and find something else. And so that's what ends up making somebody who might be called a pervert, you know, is that they were unable to find, to trust the basic traditional Rockwellian formula for life. And then once they started drinking from the other fountain, the problem is you can't trust the alt fountain either because it's got a bunch of deviants, and you know that's just as unmeritorious. Let's say it's not going to be a replacement that has any integrity. It's not a better game, I guess is the point to say. So just trying to get to the point that, you know, the people have all of these very divergent ways of gaining satisfaction. You know, I don't know, you know, you can get into all kind of people have all kinds of weird fetishes and you know, all kinds of rituals, you know, that things have to be a certain way. You do this first, and then you do this, and then you do this, and they have to write the script for the entire event, has to be, and if anything's out of place, you know, there's whatever, some seeds in the sink, you know, some sort of little defect. Well, it just breaks their, you know, the whole plot of the movie they're running. And, you know, they have to start over, you know, because they've broken you know, the plot because there's something in it that for them is outstandingly out of place. So, you know, and how much of that we recognize, I guess, is part of the whole, you know, again, all of this discussion about psychology and the more you can see these defects. So it's like I could make a movie, like an old Western or something, and then I could put a neon sign in the bar or something, right? So everything is black and white, everything looks dirty and all this, and then there's a neon sign, you know. They didn't have neon back then. They're high horses and all this stuff, you know. And you'd know, hey, that's out of place. That's wrong. You know, and some people would notice and some people wouldn't notice. And that's where you start getting into this whole idea of, you know, being able to differentiate between things that have real substance and things that are broken and have all kinds of plot flaws. So you can find all the plot flaws in life if you start looking for them. Now, most people are just so caught up in, you know, what the characters are saying to each other that they don't notice, you know, continuity flaws. You know, they're not even really, you know, you can spend a good deal, people spend a good deal of their life not contemplating the fact that they're going to die. You know, they just sort of forget it, okay? They take it out of the movie. And they're running their, you know, their successful life as if they don't have to write the ending. Yeah, and there's going to be an ending. And it's not going to be on your terms usually, and all of that crap. And so it really should be part of your acceptance of what this movie really, where it's really going. You know, it's not going to happily ever after. It's going to dead ever after, and that's a big difference. Not that being dead isn't comfortable. I just mean that we don't have the perception that the end of our story is somehow a good thing, okay? That, especially in the sense that you haven't completed whatever it is, your quilt just came into my mind, right? They used to have quilting bees, and women would, you know, spend decades working on quilts, you know, and they're just, that's their quilt project, you know. That's all what people, that's what people have. They have some sort of crap in their life that they're invested in, that gives them the delusion, you know, the just of nonsense, really, of accomplishment and direction and building. You know, like this is, you're laying bricks and there's going to be an actual useful building in the future. And the fact is, this is not, it's just not going to happen. It's not going to be a useful building. You could just write useless nothing store, you know. It's not going to have anything in it. There's not going to be anything it sells. You just think you're building something in building your life. And it's just a monstrosity. It's just, you know, the roof will leak. You know, the windows will blow out. The whole thing won't work. It really isn't going anywhere but bad places. And it's not going to be some shiny city on a hill. It's not going to be some paradise, some Oz, some whatever. None of that's going to happen. All right, take a pause. And let's get my mouse to work now. All right, so going beyond the psychology part and just recognizing there's real arguments to be made about why having kids is a crime, okay? Why it's criminally stupid and dangerous and risk and harm imposing, and you're really just giving your kid every opportunity to be in the bottom 50%, not the top 50% kind of idea. And we know the practical reality is a very small number of people live the cushy, comfortable life. You know, we know the top 1% has more than half the money that's on the earth. And they can go all the way to the 5%, let's say, and they're living the life where they're not in constant, there's not a constant pressure that they're under to be able to finance their existence, to pay their bills. And everybody else is in some other category of being a wage slave and having to play the game and not have much leisure time and all of the, you know, hard reality. And that's what you're really sensing your kid to, is a, you know, a 95% chance that their life isn't going to be all that much fun. Okay, it's going to be a lot of, you know, 40 years you have to give to the man, you know, the corporation, to get your little gold watch, you know, and, you know, the opportunity to retire pretty much the day after, right, you get your cancer diagnosis, you know, and then you can spend a few years doing, you know, that fun, you know, dying more than once. Anyway, you know, another huge expense. So the whole point is the expense part, and we're recognizing that there's only one reason why this is even something that needs to be talked about, I suppose, is because of this cultural devolution where, you know, civilized people recognized the complexity of existence and life and just how delusional and fucked up we are and all that kind of crap, and get enough education to recognize that we are just, frankly, you know, microbes that can sing and dance. You know, that we can have a couple of little extra features, but we're pretty much just living a bug's life. And they wouldn't wish it on a dog, so to speak. They can recognize that, you know, creating a new living thing when they can't even find the, you know, they can't find the peace and quiet bit. They can't find the way to live that's the good life. And how are they going to, you know, impose that on some new victim when they couldn't achieve it? You know, they can't control their existence satisfactorily, their destiny. Why would you think you can control somebody else's when you're not even going to be able to be in their head and you can't, you know, control their thoughts and their impulses and all the outside influences and all the other stuff that's going to make the experiment go way wrong? Anyway, the point is that the people that have a little bit of sophistication, if you want to call it that, a little bit of education, don't just jump into the biological idea that I'm supposed to replicate. It just isn't It isn't a supposed to thing. It isn't a necessary thing. And they can have other ambitions and other things to do with their existence than making humans, okay, and being responsible for them. So anyway, the whole point is that obviously that, you know, that game was being won in the sense that the civilized world was reproducing way below sustainable rates. It just means that people weren't having enough kids to perpetuate human existence if the people well educated were the only people on Earth, and their kids continued to be educated and similar to themselves in terms of their understanding of what their existence is, that the existence of humans would end because there wouldn't be enough new players to replace the old players, and the decline would be by those numbers till zero, you know. And that would be that was the outcome. So the antinatalists were way ahead winning. I didn't even really know it, you know, in the 80s and the 90s. This is all stuff that was happening, you know, in the early 2000s. And so, and then, you know, 5 years ago or whatever it was, seven, all of a sudden it became interesting and vogue to import stupid people into the sophisticated countries. And, you know, people willing to have 10 kids and playing traditional roles and doing what the DNA wants and all of that kind of crap. But they're just doing it because they're stupid, frankly. And that's the simple, you know, ignorance. So smart people imported ignorant people. Okay, now they might have called them something else. Migrants or something, I don't know. They give them some kind of new word, but that's all it is. They're just importing people who have soiled their own countries and now run someplace else to turn it into a shithole. That's the fact of it. So it, you know, they're you know, and that's the, you know, that's the threat, is now the dumber people are going to take control of all these democracies and turn them into shit. And you know, you just can't imagine how it could get much worse than it is now, right? Shit sandwich, giant douche, you know. It's just, there's just nothing to look forward to. But anyway, so the point would be is that, well, how do you just, you know, this idea of, you know, the welfare whore, okay, you know, the idea of the people having kids when they haven't prepared themselves, they haven't built a nest, they don't have any stuff, they don't even have extra food to feed their kids, nothing. And they just think it's some sort of right they have is to make a mess that somebody else has to pay for. And the argument would be is that there are ways to try to discourage that, and they don't all have to be negative. That is, you don't have to actually hurt people or punish people for being stupid. You can actually reward people for being smart and, you know, trick your way into much better behavior. So you know that most of the crime comes out of people who were raised by shitheads, idiots, morons. Okay, there's not too many sons of, you know, summa cum laude graduates from Harvard who are social menaces. Okay, so there's a huge correlation between reckless ignorance and stupid kids, shitty kids. Huge correlation. Okay, there's a huge correlation between this huge welfare bill of educating all of these kids, you know, created by these reckless pigs, these poor people. You know, they can't afford to feed their kid. They can't afford to educate their kid. They can't afford to do any of this shit. And they want to force somebody else to pay the freight. You know, they want to own the pet, but they were going to force you to pay for its food and its vet bills and all this other crap. And so what society could do is just basically say, look, everybody, every kid, every person 18 years old, if you haven't been a menace, that is, you're not filing for welfare, you haven't been a criminal, you haven't broken a bunch of laws and forced the society to pay a whole bunch of money for judges and lawyers and then actual prisons and health care and all this other crap, then we'll pay you. And so for every, if there was a system that paid you a bonus, 10 grand, 20 grand, for every decade you could manage not to be a menace, not to force the system to waste a bunch of resources to pay for your mistakes, it would just be a huge savings, right? You'd save much more money because the fact is if you don't have some system that rewards the good behavior, the fact is you don't have any force, any momentum to push people who would be assholes into not being assholes because they see it as in their own interest. And I guess that's part of the argument, is it sort of has to be recognized that people are by nature selfish pieces of shit. And they will do what's to in their advantage. And if you make it to their advantage not to be an asshole, if they're giving away a substantial amount of comfort and power, to be an asshole, then maybe they'll think about it, recognize that, yeah, okay, it's not in my interest and it's not in my victim's interest, so maybe I won't be an asshole. I'm just saying that the system has to react in some way, and the fact that it doesn't react in any way rational, it just allows these poor people to extort the system, just keep holding little babies up and saying, I'll pull its whiskers off, I'll squish its toes, I'll do all, there's all kinds of potential harm I'm going to do to a victim if you don't pay me, if you don't give me what I want. They're just terrorists, poor people. In a lot of ways, and there's people doing that right now, because the system pretty much encourages it. And it's saying, well, if you don't want to study and do work in school and do all this, and you're a girl, choose this, this bullshit road of, oh, I don't have to do anything now and then. I'll have to dress the kid and force it to nursery school, and then I'll force it out of somewhere else, and then I can watch TV all day. That kind of bullshit. Way too much of that crap going on. And you can it's not that hard to see. And people are just, again, it should be an obvious crime. It should be like everybody recognizes it as a crime. To be reckless in the nurturing of a human being. It's way too precious a commodity to be recklessly played with. Either you really do have to engineer it and make sure it's safe and make sure all this kind of stuff. You can't be putting your kids in rickety roller coasters, especially when you're doing it just to get them out of your fucking way, because they're just for making money. They're not for actually caring about. And that's the evil of the system, you could say. All right. And pause, I guess. All right, back. So I was thinking, about the. All right, look, there's no counter argument, in my opinion, that's reasonable to the we're just bugs and we're just doing silly little songs and dances. We're putting on a little show, a play, doing some tap dancing, some kind of creepy, weird shit, and calling it, brilliant. It's just the greatest show on earth. No, it's not. It sucks. Okay. Only morons, could really find it fascinating or interesting to watch the antics of the human beings, because it's just pigs eating out of their trough. It's just not a, let's watch that all day. Yeah, hell with that. So I was thinking about just the, just how bug-like it is, in the sense that I could argue for still, even, okay, I would like that my basic reactions were more sophisticated, but they're really not. It either smells good or it smells bad. You look at a woman, she's either fuckable or unfuckable, right? And some guy is either, hey, he has more stuff than me, okay? He might be a little more interesting than me, or he's not, okay? I'm either better or, it's always just that kind of, defining. And, and the brain automatically goes to, sabotage the things that will get in your way, and, make allies out of the things that you can use in some way. And it's all quite sinister in terms of the basic function. And it's not until you gain some of this perspective crap that recognizes, oh yes, it's not a single player game, that the other brains think they're in the game and they're playing and they're trying to win, okay? And their ambitions and their idea that they are interesting and all of that crap is just as real as any notion that you have, that you are. That doesn't get to the core thing where I should really argue there is a distinction between true losers and people that have some capacity to win. And these deluded losers, it's a real syndrome where people think, they're interesting when they're not interesting at all. And, think they have a personality when, no, it's not going anywhere, not doing anything. So there's, it's that whole retards arguing on the, it is a little bit retarded people. There's a lot of people just have retarded notions of what their future is going to be and what is possible is to make out of your existence. And I guess that's the immaturity thing, where people making the decision to have kids and to do this stuff are all making those decisions when they have way too little perspective. They haven't had enough time to absorb reality and appreciate that it is not just playing these simple potwashy kind of games. Get a job, get a little bit of money, do some traditional thing, and it'll bring you some sort of happiness. And it's just not how it goes. It's not how it's going to go. Unfortunately, a lot of smart people can fall into that trap of tradition. And, because my ancestors did it, therefore I should do it because it worked for them, so to speak. Look what they made. They made me. Wasn't I worth the trouble? Sure. Kind of thing. And so you have some sort of ambition that you're going to improve on that. And, what you're really going to do is give some kid cancer. What you're going to do is create a fate that's not going to be charming and wonderful. My parents admitted that, in the sense that they had to go, they had to watch their daughter die. In a horrible circumstance where she had already had a 3-year-old kid just very bad timing, very bad everything. And, just as bleak as you can get. And, people who just haven't lived that just don't have enough, they don't have enough of a repulsive, their reflex hasn't been, the reflex saying, be careful, hasn't triggered because they haven't almost fallen off a roof. So that'll do it too, right? Just those little things. I did some roofing. I did some kind of, I never had a problem with heights. It's kind of funny. I was very comfortable with heights. And, I could cut trees. I could do lots of things, just because, I was very comfortable being kind of But I had no, you know, because I just didn't appreciate it. It wasn't until one time I almost fell off a roof, you know, where you had that whoa kind of thing happen and you just caught yourself just in time. And and it didn't happen right away. It didn't happen until like years later. But I end up with vertigo. And I'm saying, well, you know, part of it's probably that moment. You know, my brain got it and said, this isn't for free. And, you know, this is, you know, and it took the fun out of it, right? Because now every time you went on the roof, you were thinking about all the things that could go wrong and all of that negative thinking, you know, about measuring your activities and how bold you're being and how much risk you're taking, eventually just add up to a whole big giant pile of apprehension and psychological aversion. And it, you know, manifested into like a full-blown vertigo thing. I'm working on it, getting a little better. So I actually have been practicing, you know, playing with, you know, how high I can go and trying to get past it. But it's amazing just how much control those unknown, you know, the pathways of your brain that have been altered and changed, and how to get rid of the, you know, changes that were now are in your way changes. And it's the power of the psychology is, you know, is really just the point that you have to have a significant amount of introspective awareness and some notion of determinism and how your brain is this machine and it keeps trying to calculate in certain ways. And, you know, it keeps trying to tell you whatever, 3 + 3 is whatever, 16. And you keep trying to say, no, you don't need that one, you know, because you know the right answer. I don't need you to give me this knee-jerk answer. I need this better answer where I'm appropriately cautious. Okay, and I don't talk on my cell phone while driving, and I don't do these different little things that improve the likelihood of successful function, you know, accomplishing a task. But I don't need these crude feelings, okay, because they just get in the way. So it takes, you have to do quite a bit of that, you know, to overcome some of the inhibitions and retarded psychology that's causing you to do stupid things, encouraging to do stupid things, and sometimes crippling you from doing smart things. You know, however the best way to say that is, but just getting in the way, a bunch of psychology just gets in your way. You can see it in sports. So, you know, again, the only thing people seem to live for, right, is this crap. But anyway, this shit they invest in. But you can see how, you know, the guy's got game, and but the game he don't have is the head game. And, you know, as soon as the pressure gets real, well, you know, all of a sudden the game disappears because he doesn't have the capacity to disconnect himself from those physiological knee-jerk reflexive little reactions that are happening in his psychology, his paranoia and his insecurities and all the other little crap that's getting in the way, all the negative, you're gonna fall kind of crap, the little voices saying all the wrong things at the wrong moment. You know, it just ruins his game and he fails. Not because he didn't have game, it's because he didn't have, you know, enough a capacity to get through it. And the ignorant, dumb idiot who doesn't have all this apprehension and social awareness and doesn't really care if he looks like a retard and all of that crap, you know, he slides in, you know, as the winner. He's rewarded for being stupid. So, there is a, it's a, you know, it's lots of fine lines we all have to walk between the animal and whatever other thing you are. Now, some people are just animals, so there's no fine line to walk because they're just pantomiming a soap opera. You know, they're just doing their life as SpongeBob would do it or something. They're just using something as a model and just mimicking the model. And there isn't any more thought that goes into planning or pointing themselves, their life in a direction. It's all just meal to meal. And what are you in the mood for? And not much else goes into thinking about, well, you're supposed to eat your vegetables. And, you know, so you got to plan not to eat your dessert first, you know, because then the vegetables will suck. You know, so you eat the vegetables first while you're really hungry and eat the fun parts when you're done eating all the shitty parts. And so then you won't be left feeling burdened or inconvenienced. You'll be left feeling satisfied, and you won. You got your dessert. Kind of thing. All right, one more pause. All right, so popped into the head was just get to the point that there really isn't any counter argument, right? The simple argument that's outrageously delusional and rude to impose life. That's all it is. It's just nasty. And there's no other way to look at it. It's not a smart thing to do. It's not clever. You know, it's all bad. It's all negative. It's just abuse. It's usury. It's slavery. It's rape. It's murder, because you will kill it. Your experiment will be killed, and it's all known ahead of time. That's what it's going to be. That's what's going to happen to it. There's just no counter argument to just what kind of brain function do you have to sit there and, you know, accept the fact that you're taking this, you know, you're going to roll dice with some little kid's welfare that has skull and crossbones on it, and that has, you know, drug addict, and has diabetes and obesity and this and, you know, 4,000 things that all can go wrong, and it's very unlikely it's going to be, you know, Michael Jordan. And would it want to be? You know, these, you see all these people that have it all, and having it all doesn't make them everything, doesn't give them any immunity to fucking it all up and turning their life into shit. What exactly are you rolling the dice for? What's your realistic hope? You know, and how do you, you know, how do you can believe that, oh, it's all going to work out and the one in a million thing is going to happen? You know, not the 999,999 thing. No, the 1,000,000, one in a million thing is going to happen. And it's just so obnoxious. There's really no counter argument for that simple truth. Now, the more complex argument is the one that says, look, there's no UFOs and there's no gods and there's no frickin' hobgoblins and, you know, there's no spirit things. There's no soul bubbles. There's none of that shit, okay? You're just animated matter. And you're animated just like a paramecium is, except you're made of a whole bunch of them. And they can orchestrate a 100 billion strong dance in your brain that feels like, well, you know, that's pretty impressive. I'm conscious. I'm alive. But it doesn't innately do anything except struggle to find peace and comfort and relaxation. So peace, comfort, relaxation, my brain just said bath. Yeah, because, you know, I like taking baths. And there's this, you know, there's this kind of awe thing. You can, you know, it's like a meditation almost, where you can just relax and, you know, you're warm and comfortable, and you can just have this moment where you just... And that's the only peace you get in your life. That's it. You know, the rest all has edges on it and, you know, little jabby knives and little sharp bits. And it's like razor blades. They're cutting you, but you don't notice it right away. You know, everything else is a little bit tainted. But that is just kind of a little, perfect. You know, it'd be nice to be just, you know, you could just sit in that condition. You know, but reality, you know, forces you out of the tub. And, you know, life is mostly made out of getting dirty, okay? So you can clean, you know, so you can have that clean feeling for a little tiny moment. And so life is mostly hungry and thirsty and angsty and irritated and... You know, and bent and twisted, and my posture's, you know, and you know it's pulling you down constantly, and you have to keep doing this. You have to keep fighting against the forces, and just fighting becomes who you are. So you're just always in the ring, and you're always just jabbing, and okay, well, he's coming with his right, I'll sneak my left in, and I'll, you know, you're just strategizing, you know, in this constant battle with your existence. And why would you impose that on something? Why would you say, shit, what a great idea? No, not a great idea. We don't need to do this over and over and over again. We've tasted it. We've done it. You know, we have. we've choked to death enough times. Let's stop the, you know, choking to death train. Let's not put any more people on it. Our sentient organisms. Blah, 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 blah. All right, so that's enough of a video, I think. So sorry, it's been, it's late, and it's, I don't like that it's broken, and, you know, but whatever. Shit happens and such. It's all part of the fight, the struggle to even make a video. But anyway, yeah. So, till the next time and such, and so forth and whatnot. Yeah, that's really enough. It'll have to do, pig, and such. Yeah, that'll have to do. That's all I can do. That'll have to do. As good as you're going to get. That's all I got today. That's all there is. All right. So, until the next time, when there'll be something more, maybe. And such. And so forth. And whatnot.